that so drove Paul on in his life would get hold of us, would fill us, would passionately drive us on to fulfill your destiny for us as your church in these days, Lord. Come by your Spirit in a fresh, wonderful way, we ask. Amen. When you think of building projects, what do you think? Well, you may have think the great projects of the past. The Kremlin in Moscow. It was built 500 years ago. It was an architectural marvel of its day. The Great Wall of China was built between 15th and 16th century. 4,000 miles long. I've walked on the Great Wall of China, and it is very impressive. Of all the things I've seen traveling the world, it's the one thing that stands out as the most impressive structure that I've seen, the Great Wall of China, as it snakes on 4,000 miles across China. Maybe the Taj Mahal in India, this beautiful white marble building, mausoleum that was built, inlaid with these stones, precious, semi-precious stones. I saw the Taj Mahal in the rain. And even in the rain, it was a beautiful, amazing building to look at. But spectacular as these are, Jesus said he would only build one thing. The only thing Jesus is building today is this thing. Jesus said in Matthew 16, I will build my church. And so there's a construction project underway. It's not finished. It's in progress. It's a building site. And for 2,000 years, Jesus has been building and he's not finished. Amazing thing, of course, is this building hasn't got concrete, steel. It's not got the things we normally associate with buildings. The Apostle Peter, who was there with Jesus as he was talking about these things, also got a revelation, talking about us, the church. You, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. Something is being built by Jesus, and it's a construction that's spiritual. It's intangible. You can't touch it. You can't go and look through the windows. You can't touch the bricks and stones. Except it's living stones being fitted together, built together to be this spiritual house. And the church is being constructed in cell groups across the city. It's being constructed in congregations. It's being constructed in churches in cities. It's been constructed in the worldwide church. It's been constructed throughout the last 2,000 years. The church is under construction. We wanted this morning to try and recapture something of the vision that Paul had and Peter had about the church. What vision did God give to these apostles? Well, I'm going to start by asking a question, seeking to answer it. And it's a question that someone may ask you. May come up and say, well, where is God? In fact, you hear people say that. Where's God? Well, it's a good question, and there's not a simple answer, because, of course, God's revealed himself in Scripture as being in different places at the same time. God's revealed himself as being everywhere. God's revealed himself as being omnipresent. So that Jonah, if you remember the story in the Old Testament, that Jonah tried to run away from God. And in fact, he found God even in the belly of a giant fish. The psalmist in Psalm 139 says this, where can I run away or flee from your presence? The psalmist knew he couldn't go to anywhere he went, he would find God. God is omnipresent in the whole of his creation. So that's one place God is. He's everywhere. Secondly, God is in the heart of every believer. Jesus promised to come and make his home in the heart of everyone who welcomes him. In John 14:23, it says this. Jesus says, we, talking about him and God the Father, will come and live in them. It's talking about how if we open our heart, if we make a place where Jesus is welcome, God the Father and Jesus will come and by the Spirit make a home in our hearts, make a place to live. That's the second place God is. Thirdly, he's reigning in heaven. Mark 16, Jesus was taken up into heaven, and Jesus sat down at the right hand of God the Father. So in heaven right now, there's God the Father reigning on the throne, and Jesus at the right hand of God the Father. So God is at least three places, but God also is looking for a place to dwell here on earth. He's looking for a place to make his home. See, ever since the beginning, God wanted to be with his people in a tangible way, in a way they could experience, in the way they could know, not just theoretically, but they could know in their experience that God is with them. At the beginning, God walked with Adam in the garden in the cool of the day. Now, God was everywhere in his creation, and yet God chose to come at a certain time and be close and walk with Adam. We see later in the Old Testament God meeting prophets, God meeting kings by angels, visions, dreams, burning bushes, God appearing to people. And then we see God dwelling amongst his people as a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, God's actual holy presence being with his people. And lastly, in the Old Testament, we see God in the Holy of Holies in the temple. Let's read what happened. Solomon was building a temple, a place for God. 2 Chronicles 5. When all the work Solomon had done for the temple of the Lord was finished, the Levites took up the ark, brought the ark of the Lord's covenants to its place in the inner sanctuary of the temple, the most holy place. Put it beneath the wings of the cherubim. Then the temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple. See, God was everywhere in his creation, but yet God wanted a place for his manifest presence, for his tangible experiential presence to come and be. Solomon built this temple, and right in that holy place, God came right in the heart of things. And this cloud, this manifestation of the presence of God, came in that place. And they so felt it, they so saw it, they were so impacted by it, that they could not perform the job they were supposed to do because of how manifest God was in that place. God came in a very special way to that temple. And then Solomon prayed. And this is what happened when he prayed. Solomon finished praying. Fire came down from heaven, consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. The glory of the Lord filled the temple. The glory is the heavy presence, the manifest presence that you know and feel and touch and see. And there's no doubt about it, God is in the house. The priests could not enter the temple because the glory of the Lord filled it. The place was filled so much with God, they couldn't get in there. All the Israelites saw the fire coming down, the glory of the Lord above the temple. They knelt down. See, they weren't thinking, oh, I wonder, is God around? Their God came in such a way that they fell to the floor, they worshipped and gave thanks. It was a manifestation of the presence of God. But you know what? Interestingly enough, Solomon realized that actually a building wasn't enough. This is what Solomon prayed, or it was in his heart to pray. He said, will God really dwell on earth with men? He was thinking about this building that he made. He said, the heavens, even the highest heaven, God, you're a big God. How much really can God fit into this physical building? How much less will God fit into this temple that I built? Because they saw, there was no doubt, the manifest presence of God came and filled that building. It wasn't a very big building though. It was so big they couldn't go in. There was so much of God was in there, they couldn't even go in and minister the priests. And yet, something's tugging at Solomon's heart. He's saying, hey, but how can this be enough? Surely God wants more. There was something prophetic, something stirring in Solomon's heart as he realized this physical building was never going to contain God. There was another God-shaped kind of building that he was looking forward to. In one sense, he was looking, well, not in one sense, in a very much real sense, he was looking forward, Psalm was stirring, looking forward to Jesus as God incarnate. Where there Jesus walked fully God, 100% God, 100% man, walking around. And so Jesus was the temple. Jesus was this spiritual building. Jesus in his flesh as he walked around was God with them. Was all God there walking around. But of course Jesus did the work God had called him to do. He was killed. He was buried. He rose again and he ascended. And so Paul explains in the book of 1 Corinthians how we now are the body of Christ. How you and I now are a body, the body of Christ. And so today in 2007, if someone says, where can I go to meet God? Where can I go and find God? Can that person go to church? Well, you can go to a church building and meet with God. I mean, I remember years ago I worked near St. Paul's Cathedral, and my lunch hours, I used to go into St. Paul's Cathedral, sit there, quietly pray, wait on God, seek God, and it was good. But Solomon said, could a building really contain God? Is the building really going to be the place that's going to contain the very manifestation of the presence of God? I think the clue to answering the question, where is God? Where can I go and meet God? Jesus gave us in Matthew 18. Jesus said this, for where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. In some way, God, Jesus is everywhere, he's omnipresent. And Jesus comes to us when I go into my room and close my door and I see God. Absolutely. Because he's told me to do that. But there's something here remarkable in that Jesus has said where at least one other person, maybe three, maybe more, there's not a limit on this, could come together in my name. In other words, to focus on the person of Jesus, to gather around the person of Jesus, to be together because of Jesus. Then Jesus comes in a very special way, in a very powerful way, and this is the mystery of the dwelling of God. That God has chosen to make a spiritual building, to make a place, a container that is made of people, that is made of you and me. And in the Bible we read that you and I, as individuals, that we are God's temple. That you and I, as individuals, we are the place that the Spirit of God resides. You and I, as individuals, walk around. Where's God? He's inside me. If you're born again, he's inside you. God's come and taken up residence in our hearts. As we know, read that lovely verse in Revelation 3:20, where Jesus said, he's knocking at the door. If you open your heart, he will come in. Make a place to be inside us. We're individually the dwelling of God. But also, not just individually, but there's a spiritual building. And this is the verse in Ephesians we're looking at a little bit today. That in Jesus, this whole spiritual building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. In other words, there's something that is Paul's got a picture in Corinthians of each of us being a temple of God, a place where God is. But there's something more. See, Solomon knew that a physical building couldn't contain the presence of God. There was something more needed. Jesus came and he lived his life and then he died and resurrected. And then he said, right now, you are my body. We are now this spiritual building, this place where God can come and dwell. And it says to him, the whole building is joined together and rises, become a holy temple in the Lord. So we together are a temple. Whether we meet in a cornfield, whether we meet in a school, whether we meet in a church building, it doesn't matter, of course. But we together make up this holy temple, make up this place where God can come by his presence and dwell. Now I want to just look at this verse in a little bit more detail, so I've got the whole context of it. And he says this is Paul explaining. He says, you are like a building. So he's giving, using an analogy. We're like this temple, we're like this building, we're this spiritual building. You and I are like a building. That the apostles and prophets are the foundation, that what God spoke in the apostolic age through the apostles and prophets, which is recorded in the New Testament for us, forms the foundation. The New Testament, those written words down to the apostles and prophets, form the spiritual foundation of the church. And Christ Jesus is the most important stone. In some translations it says Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. And when they built a building in Paul's time, what they'd do is they'd have a piece of flat land and they'd set a very large stone in one corner. And that corner was the keystone, the cornerstone, the stone which set the dimensions and the direction and which made the walls true. It had to be a stone that kind of determined how the building was going to be. It was key to the whole construction. And Jesus Christ, of course, is the most important in that building. He's the one who holds the building together and makes it grow into a holy temple for the Lord. And you are a part of that building. Christ has built as a place for God's own spirit to live. Well, Paul, the vision Paul's got here is so exciting because it's a vision of a building that's made up of simply you and I and our relationships. And as a church, all we have, all a church has is relationships. That's all we have. We have our relationships together which make this container. There's something about our relationships together as followers of Jesus, because Jesus is in me and Jesus is in you, that when we come together, when we gather in his name, when more two or three gather in his name or more, that Jesus comes in a special way to fill that container. So whether you gather in your cell group, whether there's only two of that night at your cell group, even if you gather informally with another person who's a Christian, you're just having a cup of coffee and you start talking about Jesus and you start sharing what God's doing in your life and you start praying together, something special happens. One thing you cannot do is build church on your own. Jesus didn't say where one or two or three are together. He said we're two or three. In other words, I can't do it. This building is not going to be a place that I can do on my own. And that's a very humbling thing. And it's also a very sobering thing to realize I am not going to be all that God wants me to be on my own. I need you, and you need the person next to you. Because God wants to build something which is a container, and in that container he's going to come and build a place for God's own spirit to live. God wants a place now on earth to dwell. God's on the throne, he's omnipresent, he's in my heart. But God wants a very place, and it's not going to be a church building. It may be in a church building. If we had a church building, great, we'd use it for whatever. But that's not the issue. God wants to build a container. And Jesus said, I will build my church. And so throughout these last 2,000 years, if you say, what's God doing today on planet Earth? What God is doing is he is building a container. He's building a church, and he's using living stones. He's using us with our flaws and our weaknesses, the things and how we are, the rough old stones, and he's putting us together. Now, do you know, in Solomon's temple, they had to hew the stones off-site at the quarry and bring them and construct the temple without the sound of hammers and chisels. It was a picture that when the church is being built, it's not done by effort and by me trying or you trying to make something happen. It's done by the grace of God and the Holy Spirit working in our lives. We've got a part to play in this, because Jesus invited us to be co-laborers. So Jesus building his temple, Jesus building his church, which is this temple, and we've been invited to be co-builders, to work together with him in building this place. And so you and I have a destiny, have a purpose of something to do, which is our job to do in building this. Jesus is building it. It's growing. You see, he says it makes it grow. In other versions, it says rises. This temple rises. Imagine a building site. Imagine a building part constructed, sort of one level one, level two, and level three and four left to go. and there's cranes and there's all kind of stuff around. It's being built that it will be a container. Now, I believe as much of the temple that's built, as much of the church is built, is as much as God can fill. God is looking for a vessel that he can fill, that he can come like he did in the day of Solomon, and his glory and presence be so manifest, be so seen, be so experienced, that Paul says this. This is how Paul describes what will happen. So a visitor will come in, fall down and worship God, explaining God is really among you. You see, those priests didn't think, is God in the temple or not? The power of God was so present, they just fell down. They saw the fire, they experienced the presence of God. And so a visitor comes in to our meeting. And as they walk through the door, they just fall on the floor as they step over the threshold of the door there. Worship God, explaining God is here. Not because they think he's here, but because they see, experience, and feel and know God is here in a tangible way. Now that's the vision. That's the vision that I believe God has for us. That's why we come together on a Sunday. Now, in one sense, you build church loads of different times. But there's something special about Sunday, not in a religious sense, it could be any day, it's just convenient we meet on a Sunday. I know some churches meet on a Saturday night, you can meet on a Sunday, it doesn't matter particularly when. But the important thing is we gather all together. These living stones are coming together on a Sunday. I wanted this morning to stir your vision for Sundays. When I first became a Christian, Sundays came around, I think, oh no, you know, ooh, not, is it? and over the years, God has thankfully delivered me from the feeling of, oh no, it's Sunday again. I look forward to our times when we gather together. Because there's something that God does now amongst us, something I've got to contribute to building that's not true at other times. We're gathering in this congregation here that God's put us together, that God's put you a part of us here, that God's, there's something here that's building, something that's rising up. I've taken that passage off. There's something that's been built up, that's rising up. We're building a holy temple. We're building a container. So I want to encourage, stir you to see Sunday by Sunday when you're coming, that I'm coming to build. I'm coming to have a part in seeing something grow. I'm having something being built that could contain the presence of God. And that the more we build, the more we're together to build, the more we make space for God to come by his Spirit, by his presence, by his manifest presence. And so I believe Sunday by Sunday, as we're here gathered, that God is pouring out his Spirit in a new way, in a fresh way. And my faith, my expectation, my vision is that we will make a place that God would want to come. That on a Sunday morning, God would think, I want to be there at that place. Because it's a place where I'm welcome. It's a place where I can come, and the people there want me to come. The longing of their hearts is that they would want me, is that they would desire me, is they'd be looking for me. And so I want to lift our vision for Sunday mornings, and to see that it's not just a place to go and receive. Yes, we will receive. We will receive encouragement. It's a place that as I arrive, I've come here as a builder. My shirt, my sleeves rolled up. That I'm ready. I've got my steel toe caps on. I'm ready to build this morning. I'm ready to come and say, God, here I am. I'm not here for me and what I can get out of it. I will be blessed and I will receive. But I'm actually here. God, I'm here as a co-laborer with you. I want to build this temple. I want to build a spiritual container that you would want to come in your power and manifest presence in a way that we've not seen before. And that increasingly, week by week, we would make a place that God would want to come. And so my vision, my heart for us, is that as we arrive here in the morning, that I sit on my seat and I say, God, here I am, and I want to give myself this morning to worship you. I want to give myself to praise you. I want to hold nothing back. I want to abandon myself in love and worship and praise for you, that this would make the place, this would build the place where you would want to come. And that during the week by week, as different people come and share a message from God with us, that my heart would be, God, I want to respond to anything you've got. Anything you want to say to me, God, today, I'll respond. I'll say, yes, God, anything you want to say to me. And through a message on a Sunday morning, God will say different things to different people. But in my heart, I would say, yes, God, I want to receive it. I want to do it. I want to follow it. I want to receive that. And that at the end, in our ministry time, the time we have after the talk, that I would respond fully to God. That personally I would say, God, here I am, and I'm here to build you a place where you would come by your presence. And I believe we're on that track. I believe something happened last summer that set us on a track that we are building. And I want to stir you today to fully be a part. To say, okay, God, here I am. I want to build. I want to see a place on earth. I want to be there. I want to be there when you come and manifest your presence in an incredible way. In an awesome way. In a way like I've never experienced. In a way that no one can doubt your power, your majesty, your fire as it comes down. And that's, God's not going to come if I sit back and think, well, God, if you're going to turn up today, fine. If not, well, there you go, another Sunday. But if I'm saying, God, my longing of my heart is to experience, not just theoretically know about, but experience more of you today than I did last week. Now, if that's in every one of our hearts, we are going to be building a place here, a spiritual house, that when God looks down the Sunday morning, he thinks, wow, those people welcome me. Those people want me to come. Those people have hearts where they're absolutely desperate for my manifest presence to be. And I believe God will pour out his spirit week by week, increasingly, so that when a visitor walks through that door, they will fall down. That's how we know, that's the test, okay, how we're doing, is if there's a pile of bodies over by the door. That's how we know if we're building right. But God's here, and I can't do it, and you can't do it on your own. It's only something that Jesus can do as we cooperate with him. And that's why there's no point in us struggling and striving. Well, there is a point in me deciding I'm going to play a part. I'm going to do my bit in building something. And so I want to ask that this week, next week, the week after, come, be here before the meeting. Go to the prayer meeting to get ready, to prepare. Come here, sit on your seat at 10:30, and give yourself fully, from the very first minute, say, God, whatever I feel like, whatever the week's been like, God, I praise you. God, I thank you. God, I love you. And we're going to continue to build something week by week. God is doing something in this place, I believe, which is something powerful. We've got to cooperate with it. If you read the book of Revelation, where Jesus spoke by the Spirit to a number of churches, he gave them some choices. God wanted to do some things, and some of those churches didn't do the things that God wanted to do. I believe God wants to build something here. You've got a choice. I've got a choice. We could just sit back and say, well, I'm not sure. I don't really know. I don't think I want to. Or we could say, God, this is the time. This is the place. I want to know you and experience you. And I believe we're going to experience God in this place in a way more than we do just on our own, more than we do any other time, there's a sense of Sundays, not for a religious sense, but a powerful spiritual sense of God building something here amongst us. Let's all stand together this morning. Let's just open our hearts to God. Lord, I'm asking for revelation. I'm asking for revelation, Lord. Open our eyes that we would see ourselves as living stones. Lord, that we are see ourselves as vital parts of this spiritual house. That we are, would see ourselves as constructing the very container by which you would come by your Spirit. That, Lord, we would realize that we are essential in what you're doing in this place. Open our eyes, Lord, to see it. Stir our hearts. Help us grasp in a fresh way this morning what you're doing here at New Life. Lord, I repent of times where I've thought anything negative about Sundays. Whether we've been brought up with different views, whether we've got jaded, whether the things in our hearts that have disappointed us. But we realize that there's something special about being together as a congregation called to be part of your purpose here in London. Lord, I'm asking that you do something new and fresh. What you started to do, Lord, please don't stop. Please continue. We ask for more. Lord, this week, more. Build more, Lord. Build something new. Come by the presence and power of your Spirit in this place, Lord. Jesus, you are welcome. You are welcome. Thank you. I wonder if you just join me in lifting your hands. Just lift them before. Just lift them to heaven if you feel comfortable doing that. Just as a sign to God of saying, God, you're welcome. God, I receive. God, I want you. God, I desire you. God, make me want you more. Jesus. Jesus, 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 wonderful God, wonderful God. Come, Spirit of God, come, Spirit of God, in this place. Lord, knit us together as living stones. Fix me together, fix each one of us together with those in our cell groups, with those across the church. Lord, build this container, Lord. Jesus, you said you'd build your church. Come here, please. Build it here in Tufnell Park, Lord. Build your church here. Lord, your promise. You said where two or three or more are gathered in your name, there are you in the very middle. And Lord, we're here for you today. Come in the very middle of us, the very midst of us. Your presence, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, wonderful Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Jesus, Jesus. Mm-hmm.